The Muslim world and Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world when you include birth rates and conversion rates. Every day that goes by, more Muslims are coming into the world.
One out of every four men, women, and child is a Muslim.
There are so many Muslims who we would now call unengaged, or Muslims who have not been exposed to the idea of who Christ is. Every day, Muslims are dying without the assurance of knowing Christ.
These are people that Christ died for. Someone needs to tell them that there is a Savior who loves them very much.
Each Frontiers team is tasked with seeing the gospel planted within social networks or within families.
Recent studies indicate that Muslims are turning to Jesus in unprecedented numbers. We need to be out there inviting people to give their lives for this magnificent cause.
Things that are happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan and India and North Africa, these are opportunities to minister the grace and love of Christ.
Throughout history, Christians have not been effective in making disciples among Muslims. And that's partly because they haven't had enough training.
One of the strengths of Frontiers is that we will provide, and we do provide, general training, but also specific training to the specific geographical part of the Muslim world that you're going to be going to. Now is the time for us to recruit more workers.
Right now there are opportunities we have never had before, and we may never have again. There is a window to which we must respond.
I don't know. None of us know how long these windows are going to stay open.
This is the right time for Christians to influence Muslims before the world influences them.
The problem is not with the field. The problem is the laborers are few, and we're seeking to see the laborers increase among Muslim peoples.
And that's why we say it's too soon to celebrate, it's too soon to quit.
Everyone. It's so good to see all of you in the sanctuary this morning, preparing for the morning worship service. And we want to thank all you that are watching on your televisions or whatever device you're watching on. Perhaps it's in your home, your apartment, your care center, or anywhere. Thank you, and you're welcome, certainly welcome this morning to join us. We have just a few announcements we'd like to have you pay attention to. First of all, thank you very much to all those, Marty Lee and his gang, with the annual Mack Life Bike Ride yesterday. Thank you so much for those that are helping, that have helped. And also, it's time for the Mack directory update. The pictures will be taken this morning. Dave is ready. Next Sunday and the 27th. Or if you have a snapshot that you would like to have submitted, send that in to Jill. If it's professional, be sure that you get permission from those that did the professional work for you, and make sure your address, phone, and all that information is up to date. Next week, we're having a Blairsburg Community Church service and potluck in the park right across the street. I looked ahead a little bit on extended forecast, and you might want to bring your bottle of water along with your lawn chair. It's going to be a good old warm day like today, and there is a slight change. The main dish, the table service, and beverage will be provided, so bring a side dish or dessert to share. Shirley Nelson is the contact person for that. And there is a table set up in the foyer with Awana Awards. Parents that were not able to come with their children on the finale of Awana Night, please check that table out and pick up your children's awards that are lying there. This morning, the elders will be holding the offering plates at the rear in the entrance for the Benevolent Fund. This is the fund that goes to the deacons, and they help where the needs are as they arise. And so remember to, as you go out, help with the Benevolent Fund and the Deacons Fund. Thank you so much. I have a verse that I like to read before we go to prayer. It would be in Philippians 2, verse verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. What a wonderful admonition from God's word. Let's go to prayer. Father, we are extending our palms upward this morning, waiting for your help, your blessing, and thanking you that we are will be hearing your word in song from Scripture. Help Pastor Hodges as he comes and divides the word with us. And Father, we want to pray for the seniors that will be receiving Bibles this morning, that your word will be very meaningful to them every day of their life, and they would have every reason to count on you and depend on you in the days ahead. And we want to remember Heather Reddig and Nathan Greenfield and Cassidy Voltina, raised and grown in our church or very closely affiliated, that are out on the front lines helping people find Jesus, helping people grow in their word, and those people that have been kind of sifted down through the cracks and are forgotten. Thank you for these that are remembering them and helping them. And Father, we just pray this morning for healing. There are many physical needs this morning and ongoing needs. And how we ask for your hand of healing upon each one. We thank thee for how you have healed us in the past when we needed your healing. And we pray for those that need healing right now, today, in the weeks ahead. So as we continue to worship and be grateful and thankful, give us a heart of thanksgiving and praise, and be thankful for the time that we can share communion together this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. Amen. Okay, before I get to the graduates, I want to mention Adventureland. And I've had some adults come up to me and say, can we go? Kind of excited, you know. Adventureland is open to everybody in here. If you want to go to Adventureland with us next Saturday, June 12th, we'd love to have you. And some people are like, can we go? I'm like, yeah, it's a public place. You can come. And more helpers it is, the better it is. So we've almost got 40 people going, 40 kids, and between leaders and students. So God is good. And, you know, it's one of those things where we really take our time. We go down there. We enjoy. And I think sometimes we think, well, we're just going to go play. This is a good time for us to really, as a youth group, come together to unite, to have some good time together. So be praying for us for that. Can I get the 2021 high school graduates to come up on stage with me, please? So I think sometimes, is it working yet? Is it working now? Okay. I think sometimes we kind of rush past this. How many here knows that these students right here are at a pinnacle in their life? The point where they leave high school and they get into college or work or whatever it is that they're going to do. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves and even say what they're going to be doing after high school. But this is a huge time. And I'm going to be reading a few verses out of Philippians chapter 4 that's going to encourage them. But I want you guys to know that when you guys leave, we don't stop praying for you. And I know for me, my son is going to be a junior, and in 2 years, he's going to be in this same position, and he's still holding true to going to Indiana University. And that's going to be a day. And I know we've got one up here going to Miami University and clear down in Florida, and I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But this is a pinnacle, guys. This is a point where things really change. You're going to see things maybe you've never seen before. You're going to be introduced to things maybe you haven't been introduced before to. And we want you to know that we're for you, and we love you very much. And we want to see the best for you. So I'm going to have you introduce yourselves and just tell us what you're doing after high school.
My name is Garrett Reno, and I'm going to go to Iowa State to study ag business.
My name is Lexi Nichols. I'm going to Iowa State for exercise science.
My name is Reed Abbas, and I'm going to be going to Grandview University to wrestle and also major in nursing.
I'm Ashton DeCoster, and I will be attending the University of Miami in the pre-med program.
I'm Caleb Jacobson. I'm going to go to Iowa State and major in ag business.
That's awesome. Give him a round of applause. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys, and I think it's amazing what you're doing. You're going to go wrestle. I mean, Iowa State. I mean, this is some big stuff. And I want to read, if you want to, turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me. And in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension," it surpasses everything. When we tap into Him, it surpasses everything. All understanding, everything. "Will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Finally, in verse 8, it says, "Brethren, whatever is true." And I want you to think about this when I read this. I want you to think about this when you get into college and you get into what you're going to be doing, that you don't forget this verse. "Brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." And I encourage you to dwell in those things of the Lord. As you go out from here, stay close to Him. Amen? If I could, can I get maybe a couple of the elders or all the elders to come up and lay hands on them? If I could have you guys stand up. Again, this is so important that I want you to reach your hands forward to these graduates. And we just want to cover them. We want to pray a blessing over them. We want to pray a blessing over their future and over what they're about ready to go into. And that as they go into this new area in their life, that they're blessed. And not only that they're blessed, but they're a blessing to everyone they come into contact with. Amen? Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for these graduates, Father. I thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, I pray, Father, as they leave here and as they go into their new endeavors, Lord, I pray that they do not forget your word, Lord. I pray that they do not forget what you've done in their lives. I pray that they stay close, Father God, that they stay close to you, that they stay close to your word. Lord, I pray that they encounter things that will give you all glory, Father God. I pray that they walk out of college with a degree, but more than that, I pray that they walk out with stories of salvations and of people that they've come in contact with that never knew you, but we're so glad that these came and shared you with everyone else, Father God. God, I pray, Father, as they go, I pray safety in Jesus' name. I pray a blessing over their future, Father God, and nursing and doctor and ag and sports science, everything that they're doing, Father God, I pray a blessing
over them, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you guys leave, if you would go right out here, you have a Bible right over here with a card on top of it. Grab your Bible if you would, and we love you guys. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause.
To be in the house of the Lord. I am so happy to be here in air conditioning. Thank you, Lord. And I am glad to worship with all of you. Are we ready? All right, here we go.
Let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things.
Amen. He has.
See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do great things. Freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
You've done great things.
Break every chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive.
Will you greet those around you? Welcome them to the house of the Lord.
Fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set out for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. God, we just thank you for your name, that we can call on you. You were the word at the beginning.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Lost away. Oh. always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back, to be with all of you. I know you guys put up with my good friend Doug Couples. He's a great guy. Love that guy. And I know he brought the word, and I watched it. So I always try to do that when I'm having somebody come up. But it's sure good to be home, even though it was fun to go to Nashville and be at General Counsel. Dr. Stumbo, our president, is still our president. He got reelected for another 4 years, so we'll have him for 12 years completely. And we know without a doubt that he's God's choice to continue to lead our denomination and our movement. And I'm thankful for all the men and women who served at council. And I mean, it was just a blessing. I got to see so many people I haven't seen in years and reconnect. And it's what's fun about going to something like that. There's about 4,000 of us there. So it was really a great time. And God was good. I just want to recognize, I know I said thanks to Marty, but Marty Lee, you were awesome this Saturday. We had a great blessing of the bikes, had about 17 to 20 bikes here, and just had a wonderful time. God was just good. And some of them that came up from the south that knew us actually wrote and said they were so blessed by Mac Life Church and just the way they were treated and the hospitality and just all those who served. Thank you so much for all that you did. But man, I tell you what, God's got a message for us this morning as we continue and jump into our series. And I just want to pray, and we're going to jump in. Everything we do is we're going to kind of come around this table of grace and mercy and the greatest act of love that we've ever known in the whole universe. Jesus, our King, came and died for you and me. Isn't that the good news? Father, I pray in Jesus' name today that you would powerfully open our hearts, first of all, just to your presence. Lord, that we would know your presence, that we would know that you're for us and not against us, that we'd know this morning, Lord, that you love us with more passion than anyone has ever loved us, and you demonstrated it by going to the cross. Lord, thank you for taking the wrath and the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Thank you that you fulfilled the law and the prophets on our behalf that we might be called the righteous of God. Lord, we love you. We praise you for this morning. Lord, would you have your way here? Would you have your way in our hearts and in our lives? Lord, would you show us if we're in a wrong place? Would you bring repentance and conviction where needed, and healing where needed, and deliverance where needed? Lord, would you put the enemy to flight in Jesus' name from this place, from us? Lord, would we know the voice of God versus the voice of the enemy and the spirit of this world? Lord, may we learn to walk in a manner that brings glory and honor and praise unto your holy name. Lord, we love you. And all God's people said, amen. Well, this morning as we continue our series in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is up on the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, he was on the Mount of Olives, and all these people had come from all over to hear him. This is the longest message he's ever given that we have in the Bible that's written down. But we also know that it says that if everything Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be enough books or libraries to hold it all. So we have just what we need to know what it means to actually live and walk for Jesus, to live a Christ-like life, to live in a manner that brings glory to his name. Isn't that something? Isn't it crazy to think that someday when we get to heaven, we have a lot to learn? But right now, the question is, and I ask this, are you being obedient to what the Lord is showing you now? It's a question I wrestle with every day. Lord, am I being obedient to the things that you're unwrapping in my life, the things that you're moving in me with, the things that you're revealing to me? Am I taking steps of obedience for your honor and glory? Am I denying myself and truly picking up my cross and following Christ? The worry in the American culture is that we've developed an American church, an American way, an American religion. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to matter is if we really live for this King that's named Jesus. The only thing that's going to matter if we're really filled with the Spirit, that we might live in a manner that actually reflects the light and the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. And as we get into this text, as we've been looking at, and I struggle with this a lot because they call it the Beatitudes and that's what we know them for, but I don't believe that's what it is. I believe it's Jesus saying very clearly, this is what it's going to take to be a part of my kingdom. Without this, you don't enter. And he's talking to a religious culture, the Jews, who already believe they're in. And he's telling them straight up, that's not how you get in. It comes through one person, and it's called Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. And there's only one way. And he starts out literally saying what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Do you understand that? That's the entry point. That's the place of repentance. That's the place of recognizing your sinfulness, understanding that you can't make heaven in your own good works. In fact, Scripture says our works are as filthy rags. Then he goes on, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come and you'll be born again, as it says in John 3, when you repent and receive the King. That's why the kingdom's yours. He's the King of the kingdom. And when you repent and you mourn over your sin, the Comforter comes and he cleanses our hearts. And we get released from the damnation and the condemnation and the guilt and the shame and the fear. Isn't that good news? Then it says, blessed are the meek. Why? It goes on, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall, what? Inherit the earth. We get everything. We become humble instead of proud. We realize life is really in Christ and not in me. And the world just teaches it's all about you. It's all about what you can get. It's about getting it now. I hate that commercial that says, it's my money and I want it now. And I think that's the whole world and everything right there. We want it right now. And he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he goes on and he tells us this. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they'll be satisfied. And as we learn, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you're literally thirsting and hungering for more of Jesus, the King, walking with him, sitting at his feet, listening to him, reading his word, because the written word leads you in the presence of the living word, who is Jesus. Isn't it something that he wants to walk this life with us? And he says, those who hunger and thirst for me will be satisfied. I'll give them of myself. I will reveal myself to them. I will unwrap truth to them. I will show them the way. That's good stuff. And it goes on in here, and it says this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Man, we live in a culture where mercy really isn't a part of it. It's full of anger and bitterness and wrath and revenge. And God's saying, don't be like that. In fact, he says, pray for enemy and bless those who persecute you. Ooh, think about it. Pray for your enemies and bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a cup of water, and it'll heap burning coals on his head, according to Romans 12. The idea that maybe it'll bring him to a point of conviction and revelation that he needs the Jesus that you're representing. And it goes on in here. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, this idea of purity, honest truth is, if without being poor, without mourning, without having meekness, without being hungering, thirsting for righteousness, without mercy, without all that, you'll never be pure in heart, right? But one of my biggest concerns in our culture today is the only one way. There's two extremes. There's the legalist extreme that says you got to do this, this, and this, and this is what makes you righteous. And then there's extreme grace, I call it, that's clear over here and says, it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you anyway. Well, if it didn't matter what you do and what you've done, then why'd Jesus come and die on a cross? It matters a whole lot what we do and what we've done, because Jesus gave his life for you and me. He suffered for you and me. So when we talk about the pure in heart, the first thing that happens is when you truly give your life to Christ, you're declared righteous, because sanctification-wise, positionally, you are seen as clean from the Father's eyes through the Son, because Jesus is righteous, and now you belong to him. You're his child, right? But there's this thing called sanctification, that we call it progressive sanctification. The idea is God working out your salvation in you. And the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The real evidence that you've been positionally sanctified is that this progressive sanctification, this work of the Spirit in you and in me, is happening. He's refining us, he's changing us, he's purifying us, he's making us more like Jesus. And if that's not happening, you need to sit back and go, why? Think what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who we receive, he's called the Holy Spirit. He's not a force. He's not a power. He's the person of God, the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father and you have the Son. They say they'll walk with us to the end of the age. But the deal is, the Spirit of God is in you and he's in me. Then something should be changing. If I'm still thinking the way I was back when I first got saved and I haven't changed, something is deadly wrong with me and with you. If you don't have a hunger to walk in a manner that pleases God, something's not right. If you don't want the purity of Christ in your life, if you don't want him to change you, do you understand that the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And what's he after? He's after your relationships. He's after your purity. He wants to shipwreck your life. How many people do you know that didn't deal with sin in their life, and what was the end result of their life? They just spin out of control. I've seen so many people in my life that had hidden sin in their life. They didn't deal with it. They didn't let Jesus into that so-called room in their life. And eventually, guess what happens? God will uproot that sin. It'll come to light. You know, they'll either do one of two things. They'll be broken and repent, or they run. And I've seen a lot of people do both. I've seen people that are broken and repent, and I see people that run, and their life is miserable. One big reason is because you can't run from God. Every one of us, to some degree, have tried that. Every one of us, at some degree, were like Adam and Eve in the garden and thought we could hide from God. Cover up our nakedness or cover up our sin would be another way of looking at that. And you can't. He sees all. You can't hide from God. We believe the lie sometimes that we can, or we believe that our sin isn't that bad compared to so-and-so. God jealously desires all of us. So when we're looking at this idea of being pure in heart, the thing that moved me when I was studying this is that literally, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are all in. You know that's really what it's saying? They're all in. I'm all in. Man, Jesus rescued me. He saved me. I'm going to go all out for God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us what? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And you've heard me teach this many times. I'm not saying the old man is done away with. The old order of the law has been done away with. But the new way of the Spirit has come. How do we put to death the misdeeds of our flesh? Through, according to Galatians 5, 16 and following, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I stand in the strength of the power of the Spirit within me that he gave me to resist the devil and his ways, to resist my own flesh and his desires. Anybody perfect at that sitting here today? If you stand up, I am... Do you realize that this battle that we're talking about is going to go on until the day we meet Jesus face to face? But do you also understand that God didn't come to rescue you so that you'd be a miserable, frustrated believer? He came that we might be free. You know, the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but it says that Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. How do we get that life? How do we get to where we need to be? Number one, we get there by living a submitted life underneath the lordship of Jesus, right? It's not enough to say, well, I accepted Jesus as Savior. I love these testimonies. I accepted Jesus as Savior at this age, but at this age, I made him Lord. I said, well, you got saved then. People don't like to hear that. He's either Lord or he's not. Now, that doesn't mean that you walk perfect, so that's where we get messed up. We have the idea that, so if he's my Lord, I'm going to do everything perfect. No, you're going to run into yourself sometimes. Your flesh will rule sometimes. But as soon as you recognize it, you deal with it. Do you understand that? So blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. You know, John 14:21, one of my life verses that I live for, I pray through, I think about, I meditate on all the time, says, whoever has my commands is the one that loves me. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who keeps my commands and says, my Father will love him too. Then it goes on to say, and I will reveal or show myself to that person. Did you hear the promise? You can take it in a negative way. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And you can get all... what are all of his commands? You know the command of God is to believe in the Son and follow the Son. You know, that's the main command. That's, if you do that, you're going to walk different. You're going to live different. You're going to love different. You're going to be able to forgive. You're going to have mercy. You're going to show grace. You're going to be able to forgive. You won't walk around in bitterness. You won't go to bed in anger. You won't do that because you know what you've been forgiven. And you know what he's done for you. So the work of the Spirit in our life to bring this purity is we still have a dual nature, so to speak. There's still this fleshly nature, but we're part of the new creation. We are, the inheritance we get as a believer is the Spirit of God in us, made his home in us, not just comes upon you, and those are great experiences too, when the Spirit comes upon you. But listen, he's for us, he's with us, but the question is, and I started out with this today, are you being obedient in the area God's speaking to you about? Isn't it something to know that we really are only responsible, if you just think about this, really only responsible to be obedient with what he's showing you right now? And when you deal with that and you're obedient there, guess what? God will show you other things. But he'll bless you too. Because if you're walking in truth, guess who comes to walk with you? Guess who's walking with you? Guess who's helping you? Guess who loves you? Guess who is jealous for your time? It's Jesus. But in here, there's some scripture that I think helps us out a little bit. And when I think about the whole idea of loving God in John 14:21 by keeping his commands, loving Jesus, being focused on Jesus, the scripture that was read this morning to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We're to fix our eyes on him. He's the author and the perfecter. When your eyes are in the right place, you'll walk in the right place. Where your eyes go and your mind goes, your feet go. Isn't it easy to get tripped up, if we're really honest this morning? It can be an attitude, it can be a thought, it can be lust, it can be pride, it can be anger that gets a grip in us. It can be anything that we get tripped up with because somebody wronged me. Woo! The grace we have in God is that we can forgive and we can release people and we can let God have his way in their life. In here in 1 Thessalonians, I wanted to turn here, says some things that I think are important for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. Listen to what it says. It says, Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, it says, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. So for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Did you hear that? You ever wonder what God's will is in your life? I hear people all the time, I'm just trying to figure out what God wants me to do, or his will. His will is for you to be sanctified. Listen what it says. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And he ends with, therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. So God's will for us is sanctification, and that we learn. I love that it says learn. Aren't you glad that it says learn? That we learn to control our passions. That we allow the Spirit to sanctify those passions. God's will for you and me, the idea of sanctification is to be set apart unto Jesus completely. You understand that? To be set apart unto the Lord for his purposes and his goals and his mission Man, we have a mission. We have a mission to reach the lost. We have a mission to make disciples. We have a mission to teach them everything Jesus commanded us and to teach them to obey it. We have a mission to walk in a manner that reflects the love of Christ. I can't do any of that on my own strength. How about you? But man, do you desire it is the deal. Do you hunger for it? Do you hunger for Jesus to work in you in such a powerful way that everywhere you go, people are starting to go, what's different about you? One of my favorite things, working out in gyms, getting to know people and building relationships without them knowing I'm a pastor. And it's always comical because at some point, 3 or 4 months in, they say, what do you do? So I'm a pastor, and it's like, it's just funny. The moment you say you're a pastor, man, their mind goes, what have I said? What have I done? What have I looked? But, and I just smile, and I let them wrestle. I let them struggle with it. And I just smile, and I said, let's work out. Let's keep working out. So we work out, and pretty soon they say, you're a pastor, really? I really am. They go, oh, man, I'm sorry for some of the things I said. Hey, that's between you and God. That's not between you and me. And I just keep loving on them. And that's how you end up winning them to Christ. But, you know, it's just fun. The worst thing you can do if you're introducing me to somebody is introduce me as pastor first. Just introduce me as Danny. I want to get to know him before the wall shuts. Right? It just makes it way more fun. And I get a chance to have a relationship with him before they go, uh-oh, that's one of those pastor guys. Let's get away from this dude, you know. And God is just good. But in here, do you understand that Jesus came to make you clean and make me clean? The idea that it's his will that we're sanctified, that we are fully set apart unto him. Do you know what he's really saying? That we are walking with him in the love and the grace and the truth that he's just bestowed upon us. That he has so many things that he wants to reveal to us, unveil to us. We're missing out. And you know what keeps us away a lot of times? We don't feel good enough. What keeps us away is our own sin. Enemy speaking in our ear saying, you know, how can you even think you can be a witness for God when you're struggling with these things? And I just start talking back to the enemy. I say, well, I'm righteous because of Jesus. I know my sin, and I'm trusting Jesus to forgive me. But I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to pursue Jesus. I'm going to be a person who tells everybody about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, the promise is the John 14:21 passage. Those who do these things will, Jesus will reveal himself to you. It says they will see God. They're part of me. They're with me. And there's nothing better in all the world. I want to turn to Revelations. I'm going to end with this today. I have a lot more, and I don't have near enough time. I get carried away here. But Revelations chapter 2. I think it gives us some things that will help us. And this is Jesus speaking to one of the churches, the church of Ephesus. Paul's stay was longer in Ephesus than anywhere else that he was. Ephesus was a city that had a lot of magic arts, a lot of sorcery, temples, false temples, all these kind of things that went on there. Ephesus was a place where God moved in great power. Many people were healed and delivered. Ephesus was a place where a great church was built. And Jesus has some things to say to them. And I always think it's interesting. So chapter 2, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, or walks among the churches, says, I know your works. That should just make you pause. He knows. And he goes on here. He says, I know your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. That's pretty good. It says, I go on. It says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So part of being, before I read this next section, being pure in heart, has to do completely with being all the way in. I'm going to live all out for Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. He's my passion. He's my king. And I want to serve him faithfully and honor him with my life. So it goes on here, and he says, but I have this against you. Isn't that interesting? That you have abandoned the love you had at first for him. He tells us to do three things. Can I say that I see this often in the church? I see people grow lukewarm to cold in the church. I see a lot of people who are going through the motions, but they haven't had a stirring in their heart for a long time. That should make us just get on our face and cry out to the King of the universe, say, oh God, send forth your spirit fresh in my life. Awaken my soul. Open my mind and my heart to your presence. Don't let me be put to sleep by this world. Don't let my love for you wane. Open my soul. And it goes on in here. Listen to what he says. He tells us three things. He says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen and repent. So he says, remember. Remember the love that you had for me. Remember the joy of your salvation. Remember how you felt when you realized you were forgiven and you became born again. Remember. Then he tells him to do this. He tells him to repent. Repent is, to me, the most beautiful word in Scripture. You want to know why? Because it means you can turn. You can change your course today. Repent means turning from wherever you're at, whether it's lukewarmness or complacency or going through the motions, or maybe you have a bondage in your life. Maybe lust has got a hold of you. Maybe pride has got a hold of you. Maybe anger has got a hold of you. Maybe you're materialistic. Maybe you're gossiping and slandering. I don't know what it is. God knows. He knows straight up. Remember, I know your deeds. But the question is, the good news is, we can turn. And we can turn to Jesus. And you know what you find when you turn to Jesus? Mercy. He's the seat of mercy. You find forgiveness. You find grace. You find love. And he comes close to those who are poor in spirit, those who are broken. So we have to remember the height from which we've fallen. We have to remember how we felt when we first got saved. We have to repent from those things that are holding us back, from what's going on, from our lukewarmness, from our coldness of heart, from not being in love with Jesus the way you were in the beginning. And he goes on, and he just says it simply this way. And he says this, and do the works you did at first. Just do it again. Start doing the things that you did before. Live it out. So anybody in marriage ever have those times where it just kind of got mundane? Anybody that's been married for a few years? Several years? No. I love that. First she's going, yeah. No. The truth is, there's seasons in life, isn't there? There's times, and I realized right in the middle of when we were having all of our babies, and we were in school, and I was working, pretty soon you're just living together. You're just going through the motions. And a man got a hold of me, Jack and Diane. He said some things that really caught my heart. And I went home, and I wrote on a sheet of paper all the things that I used to do when we were dating. Come on, man. All the things I used to do when we were dating. And you know what I did? Without telling her, I just started doing those things again. And you know what happened? We started having fun again. We started laughing together. Remembered why we got married. She's the one I want to be with the rest of my life, and still is. Isn't God good? It changed our marriage. It changed it. It was never bad, but it was not good like it should be. Now it's great. So I think that's what happens in our Christian walk with Jesus. I think that's what he's talking about here. Write down the things you used to do. Remember. Repent of not doing the things you should do, of your heart not being in the right place, and begin to do the things you used to do. And I'm guaranteeing you, the life of God in you will just explode. Listen, we're coming around this table this morning. is the greatest table of grace, of love, of God's passion for us. We will not go through the motions of doing communion. Every time we do communion, every time we take the bread, we're recognizing that Jesus suffered greatly. His body was broken for you and for me, for our healing, for our deliverance, for our forgiveness, for our cleansing. And every time we take that cup that represents His blood that makes a new covenant, hallelujah, the covenant of grace and mercy and forgiveness, the covenant of the Spirit of God being in us. Every time we take that cup, we're saying, Lord, I belong to You. Do you know that this morning? But before we come to the table, I'm going to ask the elders to go ahead and come up and get up front so we're ready. We need to spend a little time remembering. We need to spend some time repenting if your heart is not the way it used to be for Jesus. And then I want to encourage you this week to go out and begin to do the things that you used to do when you first came to know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. I never like to not talk about this. If you've never repented and given your life to Jesus, would you guys just bow your heads with me for a moment? Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And you're ready to repent and give your life to Christ, you simply say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sin, and I turn to You, and I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus, my King, on the cross, that You died for my sins, and that You were buried, and that You were raised from the dead, and You conquered death and Hades for my benefit. Lord, I put my faith that Your blood cleanses me, and I ask You to forgive me and save me today. In Jesus' name. Everybody keep your heads bowed. If you did that today for the first time, would you just slip your hand up? I don't want to miss you if you're here. For the first time, if you just yielded your life to Christ, let us celebrate that with you. So I'm just going to ask you before we go into communion that you would just be still before the Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'd show us where we need to repent. And we'd make sure we do business with You before we come to Your table. So just take some time here before we partake. So folks, as we come before the table of the Lord today, and we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, this is holy. Even though it's grape juice and a piece of bread, what it represents is the holiest act of love that's ever taken place in the whole universe. So as we partake, let us make sure our hearts are in the right place. Make sure you're clean before the Lord. You know, a simple confession, Jesus forgives. Isn't that good news? So I ask you to hold your cup and we will partake together as it's handed out, guys. You might need two in the middle. Let's get one more in the middle.
I'm caught up in Your presence. I just wanna sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, You don't owe me anything more than anything that You can do. I just want You. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to You. sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, never wanna leave. I'm not here for Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe. More than anything that you can do, I just want you.
So now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you go in His strength, and may His blessing and His love be upon you. May you remember all that He's done for you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high.